In my previous sermon on healing, we addressed what the Bible says about healing. We learned that God clearly says that He is our healer. It's a very part of His identity as Yahweh Rapha, and that He will heal us in His time, in His plan for us, whether that be immediately, later, or in the kingdom of God. We also learned that for our part, we need faith and obedience for healing to take place. Well, today, we're going to explore the relationship between illness and sin and what the Bible says about these in terms of healing. We have to admit that there are accidents and viruses that spread beyond our control. People can fall and break a leg or an arm. Broken bones take time to heal. All of us in this room or on Skype or on the telephone hookup know about the scourge of COVID-19. Several variants that have afflicted us, and many of us know this all firsthand. Despite exercising care and washing our hands, wearing a mask, using sanitizer and all of these things, in some cases getting vaccinated, we can still catch the COVID-19, and it is not any fun. So though we may exercise caution, viruses, cold flus, they all are something that we can catch. Some of us acquire diseases and illnesses that we cannot begin to even understand the causes for. Some have predispositions for certain ailments due to heredity. We have hereditary weaknesses. When we look at the prayer list that comes from the home office, it can be very discouraging. We see people on the list, issue after issue. They never seem to drop off. Others disappear, and we have no explanation for it. Many of these illnesses, brethren, have nothing to be forgiven for. There was no sin involved. But what about those sins that may be causing us to be ill? I want to address those directly today. What about those things that we are doing knowingly or not that may be contributing to our ill health? The fact is, many of us do not live healthy lifestyles today. According to data from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, quote, in 2012, the average American spent $9,596 on health care, which is up significantly from $7,700 in 2007. It was more than twice the per capita average of other developed nations. But still, in 2015, experts predicted sharp increases. Healthcare spending per capita is expected to surpass $10,000 in 2016, then march steadily higher to $14,944 in 2023. If you ever have to go to the hospital, you know what these figures mean. It's terribly expensive. Part of these medical costs, interestingly enough, are driven by Americans' fear of death. According to a study, fear of death in the United States published in 2019 by Statista Research Department, 11% of Americans are very afraid of death. Another 31% are somewhat afraid. While the majority don't fear death, it's like that famous Woody Allen quote, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. I think most of us would kind of concur. Yet a lot of our illnesses, and yes, death in this country, are due to poor choices that we make, poor diets, and how we spend our time. We read last time Deuteronomy 7, but I'd like you to turn there again. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. The Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of those terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known. but will lay them on all those who hate you. It's interesting that forensic anthropologists, this is a relatively new type of a study that has come out in the past 10, 15 years. They have studied ancient mummies dating back to the 1900 BC, a long time ago. And they found that ancient Egyptians suffered from many of the illnesses common to modern man. Heart disease, cancer, vascular diseases, arthritis, hepatitis, tetanus, trichinosis. Where do you get that? Eating pork. Lockjaw, along with other historical accounts which note other health issues like fevers, dysentery, leprosy, intestinal worms, plague, nervous system diseases such as paralysis and epilepsy, insanity, ophthalmia, which is an eye disease, and skin diseases, diseases which are still present in the world today. Remember the last time we read in James chapter 5. I'd like you to turn with me there. Because this is where God addresses what do we do when we become ill. James chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 14. James chapter 5 verse 14. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. We addressed that part last time, but this is the part I want to address with you today. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, is this talking about all of the sins that you have committed? No, it's in the germane context is things that are causing you to be sick. Our ill health. I want you to think about this sickness for a moment. There seem to be two ways that we can become sick, that we can find ourselves in a state of ill health. First, we can contract an illness through no fault of our own. I want you to think about COVID-19, for instance. According to the Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization, more than 5.6 million people worldwide have died of COVID-19. That's a lot of people. 900,000 Americans and 80,000 Texans have died from COVID-19. In fact, according to Medical News Today, quote, the top three causes of death in 2020 in the U.S., were heart disease, cancer, and COVID-19 in that order. Here's a list of the top 10 causes of death in the United States. I want you to listen to them and think about them. Heart disease, cancer, COVID-19, accidents. These are unintentional injuries. Stroke, chronic lower respiratory diseases, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, influenza and pneumonia, nephritis or nephrotic syndrome. This is dealing with the kidney area. As we look at that list, it's obvious that some of these diseases like COVID-19 and accidents are beyond our control. We can do everything right and still acquire those maladies. But others may be due to choices that we are making that can contribute to illness, especially when we choose to live, and I emphasize choose to live, an unhealthy lifestyle. Now, I know I may be stepping on some toes, but it's not my intention to offend, but to inform. I'm speaking to myself as much as to anyone else in this room. We live in an age of great prosperity, technology, and innovation. And yet, why is the quality of life for so many so poor? You see, God did not create us and does not desire us to live in a life with illness. That's not what He wants for us. Turn with me over to 3 John. 3 John, verses 1 and 2. 3 John. Verse 1, Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health. be in health, just as your soul prospers. We know that God inspired all Scripture for our instruction, for our profit, as we read in 2 Timothy 3:16. So this Scripture applies to all who would obey their Creator. But we have a role to play in our health, don't we? Things that we do, the choices that we make. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's a scripture which should give us all pause, because these choices that we are making impact us in a spiritual sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? We don't own ourselves. When we have submitted to God and said, I want to be part of this way, we're no longer our own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The New American Standard offers this translation. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. Brethren, most of us know the things that we have discussed here today so far. We do. We know that there are certain things that we shouldn't eat. Biblical dietary laws, for instance, point out we shouldn't be eating pork. We shouldn't be eating shellfish or fish that do not have scales, for instance. We know these things. We know them. They're not healthy for us. Yet we also know that there are other things that we eat that we shouldn't be eating as well. We know it. But the typical response is, but I like it. It tastes good. It tastes good. I like it. I point you back to 1 Corinthians 6. How are we treating the temple of God? Maybe in light of 1 Corinthians 6, we should reflect anew on James chapter 4. If you turn with me there quickly. James chapter 4, verse 17. I see all those that are the traditionalists with the Bible. They're still thumbing, and the others are, I'm already here. James 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Could that apply to us about certain things we know we shouldn't be eating? How we're treating God's temple? We need to ask ourselves, are we treating God's temple as we should? Think about this moment. Now, aside from acquiring illnesses through no fault of our own, we can bring on illnesses by our habits and our behavior, our choices. Well, today I want to address five areas in our lives that we can control that will give us better quality lives and better health. But if we really think about it, while those sins that can be forgiven when we ask for anointing, we may still have consequences for those sins. Some things do damage to us that we have to live with. But I want you to think about that. When we choose to live an unhealthy lifestyle, there are consequences. Consequences that God did not want for us, but we make choices. How can we change the picture of our health? First, good food. Good food. Many of us eat an abundance of processed foods. instead of eating vegetables, fruits, and meats that we prepare and know what's in them, we go out for fast food like hamburgers or tacos or whatever else is out there. When we eat a lot of high-fat foods, fast foods, and processed foods, we stress our bodies and load up with toxins that we are not getting rid of properly because of our lifestyle. The results are bad hearts and unwanted weight gain and ill health. Look at the average American diet. According to Health Day, an article entitled, "What's Wrong with the American Diet?" It's dated December 31st, 2020. Quote, "What's wrong with a typical American diet?" This is what the experts have to say. "Too many calories," says Marion Nestle, PhD and MPH, and a bunch of other things, professor of nutrition and food studies at New York University. Too many calories. They're continuing the article, "Perhaps it's time to stop talking about fatty foods and admit we simply eat too many calories. We eat too much. We don't stop bending the elbow," as my grandpa used to say, "stop bending your elbow." 25 years ago, the average American consumed 1,850 calories a day. Since then, our daily diet has grown by 304 calories. That's roughly the equivalent of 2 cans of soda. And theoretically, that's enough to add an extra 31 pounds to each person every year. And judging from the ongoing obesity epidemic in this country, Americans are gaining those pounds and then some. More than 68% of all Americans are considered overweight or obese, according to the CDC. This means that they have a body index of greater than 25. A good BMI is between 18 and 21. We're way over the mark. Continuing, "To truly understand what's gone wrong with the American diet, you have to know how we manage to consume all those calories. There are two possible ways to go overboard. You can eat too many calorie-dense foods like dairy products and sugar, or you can simply eat too much of food or beverages in general. Many people choose to do both. In our Western diet," says the article, "red meat and other fatty foods take the forefront, while fruits, vegetables, and whole grains are pushed aside. In addition to fat and calories, the Western diet is loaded with cholesterol, salt, and sugar, and far too many processed foods. If that weren't bad enough, it's critically short," and I can tell you the consequences of this are huge, "of dietary fiber. Dietary fiber and many nutrients, as well as plant-based substances, phytochemicals. These help protect the heart and ward off cancer. We neglect more nutrient-dense foods like fish, poultry, cruciferous vegetables like cauliflower, broccoli, cabbage, kale, garden cress, bok choy, Brussels sprouts." I love Brussels sprouts. "Mustard greens, collard greens, Swiss chard, any type of green is on this cruciferous vegetable list. Tomatoes, legumes, fresh fruits, and whole grains. These are foods that we can cook at home and have a cheaper and healthier lifestyle than the typical Western diet. Are you looking for ways to cut your food bill? This is one great way to do so. Last week, I was in HEB, the supermarket. I was looking for some lean cuts of beef. And I found a small sirloin steak, and it was $14. And I told the butcher there, I said, "I only want to buy a piece of that cow, not the whole cow." I wound up buying a package of 8 chicken thighs for $4.79 instead. Brought out the Scottish in me. Chicken offers, for those of you that are interested, the highest amount of protein per gram of meat than any other meat source. Think about what we do eat. According to IBIS, World, This is a food journal. As of 2021, the United States had nearly 200,000 fast food restaurants across this country. 3 million soft drink vending machines. American food choices often lack thought. The results are an overweight, sick society. So good food is the first thing that we can do to improve our health. What's next? Second, clean water. Clean water. We don't often think about that. In 1978, for example, the typical teenage boy in the U.S. drank 7 ounces of soda a day. That's about a little over half a can of a soda, a 12-ounce soda here. According to Fast Food Nation author Eric Schlosser, today a male teen drinks between 3 times that much, getting a whopping 9% of his daily calories from soda. Teenage girls are close behind, and if I'm supposed to drink the recommended 8 to 10 glasses of water a day, doesn't soda count? This is liquid, isn't it? It's liquid. I know there's water in there somewhere. Here's what an article entitled, "Does Soda Count as Fluid?" says. This is from January 24th, 2022. Pretty late information here. This is from Everyday Health, and it says, quote, "Nutritionally speaking, water is far better for you than any type of soda on the market. Regular cola is about 89% water." That's pretty good. According to USDA data, which means that almost 11 of the 12 ounces are water. And they could count toward your fluid intake. But the remainder of what's in that can should give you pause. Regular soda is absolutely loaded with sugar. That same 12-ounce can contains the equivalent of almost 9 teaspoons of sugar. Now, how many of you would take a iced tea and put 9 teaspoons of sugar in it? Think about that. Continuing in the article, while diet soda is technically calorie-free, it's like a beverage like water, you won't find the same health benefits by any means. In fact, past research has found that diet soda drinkers ate more unhealthy foods throughout the day. After all, I'm drinking diet soda. I can get away with it, right? A study published by the February 2019 issue of, this is a catchy title, Stroke, found that postmenopausal women who drank more than 2 diet sodas a day had increased their risk of stroke by 23%, and 29% increased risk of heart disease drinking diet soda compared with those who rarely drank or never drank diet soda. Fact is, we need to drink more plain, clean water, 8 to 10 glasses a day. Water serves as a cleansing system for our bodies. It's critical. Clean water helps you get rid of toxins in your system. Toxins that can be absorbed in the body through various bodily reactions, some from the environment around us, unhealthy foods, or because you consumed some even dirty water. Water helps keep our kidneys clean. You don't want to have your kidneys go out on you. It's very painful, very costly process. It also helps balance the fluids in your body. Increases our energy and nourishes our skin. Gives us that baby-like glow on our skin. And also, and this is a critical one, helps us have regular bowel movements. I know that's something that some people don't want to hear, but it's true. Yet how many of us neglect this vital tool for our health? There are no substitutes for clean water in our bodies. Not coffee, not tea, not sodas. Something to think about. Do some research on your own. Number 3. Here's a dirty word. Exercise. Oh, not that. Exercise. The design of our bodies tells us one inescapable fact. They were made for movement, for exercise. Think about all of our joints, the pivoting features, our necks, our shoulders, our hips, our waists, our back, our legs, our fingers, our feet, our legs, our arms, our toes. Everything bends, doesn't it? It moves. Yet we live very sedentary lives these days. And that results in stiff joints, aching bodies, sore bodies. I notice when I don't go to the gym, I start to get a stiff back and my knees get stiff. When I go regularly, I don't have that problem. You got to move. Keep moving. According to NutriStrategy.com, quote, regular exercise that is performed on most days of the week reduces our risk of developing or dying from some of the leading causes of illnesses in the United States. Regular exercise can help protect you from the following: heart disease and stroke. Quote, daily physical activity can help prevent heart disease, stroke, by strengthening your heart muscle, lowering your blood pressure, raising your high-density lipoprotein, these HDL levels of cholesterol, good cholesterol, and lowering your low-density lipoprotein, LDL levels. That's the bad cholesterol. That's the one that the doctor frowns at you on when it's too high. You aren't doing what you need to do, are you? Improving blood flow and increasing your heart's working capacity. High blood pressure. Physical activity can reduce blood pressure for those with high blood pressure levels. Physical activity also reduces body fat, which is associated with high blood pressure. Next, non-insulin dependent diabetes. That's type 2 diabetes. By reducing body fat, physical activity, we can help prevent and control type 2 diabetes. Just move. Get moving. Obesity. Physical activity helps reduce body fat by building or preserving muscle mass and improving the body's ability to use calories. When physical activity is combined with proper nutrition, it can help control our weight and prevent obesity, which is a major risk factor for many, many diseases. Back pain. By increasing muscle strength and endurance and improving our flexibility and posture, regular exercise helps prevent back pain. I can attest to that. Osteoporosis. This is a major problem with so many of our older brethren and older population in this country. Regular weight-bearing exercises. Weight-bearing promotes bone formation and may prevent the bone loss that's associated with osteoporosis and aging. It also helps prevent psychological effects. Regular exercise can improve your mood and the way you feel about yourself. Researchers have found that exercise is likely to reduce depression and anxiety and help you better manage stress. For the greatest overall health benefits, experts recommend that you do 20 to 30 minutes of aerobic exercise 3 or more times a week. And some type of muscle strengthening activity and stretching at least twice a week. Whatever exercise we engage in, whether it's jogging, walking, going to the gym, yoga. Every time I think of yoga, I think of a friend I used to work with at Intel. He went to the yoga class and they got him to put his legs behind his head. And he got stuck. Everyone else was doing their thing and he was over there, help! Whatever you do, though, it ought to be a regular thing. The bottom line is that millions of Americans suffer from illnesses that can be prevented or mitigated through regular physical activity. Number 4. And this one's a very simple one. We live in an area that we can actually take advantage of this a lot. Sunshine and fresh air. We have a lot of both. There are days when we got to watch that fresh air thing because we get some interesting particulates in the air. Down where I'm at, the HS2 can add to the robust smell of the air. But anyway, think about sunshine. Water. Just 30 minutes of full body exposure in the midday summer sunshine can provide you with a whole day of vitamin D. Simple. Getting out in the sun, it helps get you going. You feel refreshed. Vitamin D is very important for preventing things like osteoporosis. Also, many other chronic illnesses, including autoimmune illnesses and conditions. Excuse me. Vitamin D helps convert calcium into a usable form to build strong, healthy bones. Vitamin D can help stave off colds that keep you out of the, keep you indoors. Vitamin D, think of that. Now, we part of that, when we're out in the sun, UV rays actually harm microorganisms that would otherwise make you sick when you come in contact with them. Remember, people used to hang their laundry outside in the sun to dry? That laundry was antibacterialized because of that sun. We don't do that anymore. We just depend on heat. Bacteria thrives in the dark. So step into the sun whenever you can. Pull back those curtains. Let the light in. Reduce your chances of contracting an illness when you do so. Vitamin D also combats muscle and back pain problems and improves muscle movement. What about fresh air? It boosts your respiratory system. Walking outdoors in fresh air in sunshine benefits your whole respiratory system greatly. The Lung Institute recommends walking outdoors to improve your breathing. Some people have a problem breathing. Deep breaths of clean, open air increases your body's oxygen levels and boosts your efficiency at using that oxygen. When your cells do their best work, your mind is clearer and you have better mindset overall. Cortisol, maybe you've heard of this. It's a hormone that is responsible for jittery nerves, your flight or fight type of a thing. Go for a quick walk outside. You feel that stress piling up. Go for a quick walk. You'll discover how fresh air and sunshine helps regulate your cortisol levels and leaves you cool, calm, and collected. And it's all natural and it's free. Free. According to Dr. Ming Kuo at the University of Illinois, spending time outdoor reduces the risk of everything from ADHD to cardiac disease. Scientists have long associated UV exposure with skin cancer. We all know that. Especially here in West Texas, we get an abundance of it, of both. The scientists have long associated this with skin cancer, but this is true, but moderate doses of sun can prevent pancreatic, ovarian, and colon cancer. Again, getting that half hour a day. Just get out in the sun. Enjoy it. Soak up about 20 to 30 minutes a day. Keep your sunscreen on hand after you've had your quota. Put it on. Keep on walking. But being in the sunshine may also help those with common autoimmune disorders to alleviate or improve their condition. Those with lupus, MS, rheumatoid arthritis, and any anti-inflammatory bowel disease benefit from taking a walk around the block when they feel a flare-up coming on. It may not entirely prevent it, but studies have shown that it actually lessens the severity. Being outdoors, breathing fresh air also alleviates stress. Our hectic, always connected. We've always got that phone on, right? It's with us 24 hours a day, seems like. That creates a lot of anxiety and stress. This can lead to disorders like post-traumatic stress disorder. Can you imagine? Yeah, I have post-traumatic stress disorder for my phone. We commonly think of soldiers, you know, but this is also creates an anxiety in us. Social anxieties. These disorders are treatable with a combination of medication, talk therapy, or just going outside, enjoying the sunshine. Reduce your tension naturally. Fifth, this is our final one. Get enough sleep and rest. Get enough sleep and rest. The average adult needs between 7 and 9 hours of sleep. Children, 8 to 10. Getting out and soaking up some sun, some fresh air, helps us get to sleep faster and easier. Everyone has an interior clock that tells the body when to sleep and when to wake up. But when we stay up late at night staring at a screen, insomnia can take hold of us. We disorient our body clock. Heading outdoors, especially those who camp out overnight, it's amazing what that will do. It actually helps us to reset our internal clock and makes falling asleep getting easier. Taking in fresh air and sunshine at regular times each day helps us also to stabilize our schedule. It also reduces melatonin production, which means we can stay awake better during the day. Taking a stroll outside also burns some calories, doesn't it? Hikes are good, climbing, swimming. Working out also heightens our oxygen production. And our oxygen saturation. That's what they're measuring when they have that little thing that they, little clip that they put on your finger at the hospital. Keeps our oxygen levels from dipping too low at night. And many people are afflicted by that. And that can create a condition called sleep apnea. Very dangerous. You stop breathing sometimes and you never start again. Those who exercise find falling and staying asleep much easier. Think about it. God knew at creation how important rest was for us. He created this day, this very day, this Sabbath day. He rested. He didn't have to rest. God doesn't get tired. But He did it for us. He did it for us. Psalm 127 says this, verse 2. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. Well, that's hard, isn't it? You get up early and you sit up late. You're just, oh man, I'm so tired. To eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. Sleep. There's no conversation, no activity, no movie, or no game that is worth our losing sleep over. It can wait. Sometimes I gotta catch the last half hour of that movie because it is really good. Why? Why should that movie dictate our health? A study done by the Mental Health Foundation found that people who didn't get enough sleep were 4 times as likely to suffer from a lack of concentration, have relationship problems, and 3 times more likely to be depressed. And 2.5 times more likely to commit suicide than those who are getting adequate sleep. The bottom line is brain function for us is critical. Without proper sleep, the brain cannot regenerate properly. When we go to sleep, our brain is cleaning itself out, removing toxins. When we don't get enough sleep, we're not doing a good job of cleaning that brain. Many studies have been done to illustrate the need for longevity as it associates to sleep. Professor Kevin Morgan from Longboro University sleep research team says this, quote, those that sleep 7 to 9 hours live longer than those who sleep shorter or even longer. If you do not get enough sleep, you are 12% more likely to die sooner than you would if you had adequate sleep. In an interesting correlation, Professor Morgan found that when you are sleep deprived, your immune system is also weaker. First, he discovered this by testing rats and then tested humans that worked shift work at night. Bad sleeping habits are far more common for night workers. A study will show that you are more likely to get sick if you do not get enough sleep. Finally, sleep can save your life and the life of others. How? According to the CDC, 1 in 25 adults report that they have fallen asleep at the wheel of their car at least once a month. Once a month! That's scary! And that has resulted in an estimated 6,000 fatal car crashes every year. In closing, brethren, let's turn back to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. When we ponder what those sins may be, perhaps instead of getting caught up in regrets or being judgmental, we can repent and apply what we have learned from these five very important steps that we can take to restore our health, or to pray for those who may be struggling to do so. First, eat good food. Second, drink clean water. Third, get enough exercise. Fourth, get some sunshine and clean air, fresh air. Fifth, get enough sleep and rest. Good health. Some of it may be out of our control, but there is a lot that is in our control. Let's quit procrastinating, as the old Nike ad used to say, just do it. Let's repent of our sins against the temple of God's Holy Spirit, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 6:19. And let's do what we know we need to do, as we read in James 4:17. Therefore, let him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin.